The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should consider obtaining independent advice before making any financial decisions.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perrow columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we're catching up with Rob Longley, Managing Director of the Gold Explorer, Arden. Arden trades under the code ADV or Alpha Delta Victor. It had a last sale price of 1.7 cents for a market cap of about 35 million. Garen Perrow is happy to say he had a look at Arden back in October last year when it was a 0.3 cent stock. The market cap of 5 mil. So what have we got here? A 7 bagger. Very nice. Interest has been building in the company on the strength of its big ground position in the historic and high-grade Pickle Creek Gold Camp in northwest Ontario. Arden was an early mover in what has become something of an Aussie invasion into the broader region. Evolution spent $475 million to buy the Red Lake Gold Mine and has just upgraded the resource there to 11 million ounces, if you don't mind. Then there's the ASX-listed Ortigo, which has a 810,000-ounce high-grade gold deposit under its belt at Pickle Crow, with ambitions to make its multi-million ounces over time. And Ortigo's got a 325 million market cap at the present. Then we have Arden with its growing $35 million market cap, one based on its 660 square kilometre prime tenement position in the region and an initial resource at its Casajaminas deposit where a resource target for more has been set. It's got a fully funded drilling program which is about to start, so there's going to be plenty of excitement and news flow ahead, I'm sure. With that, I'll say good day to Rob. And hi, Rob, and thanks for your time today.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Barry. Always good to speak to you.
Now, Rob, can we start out by getting a bit of a background on yourself and how it is that Arden, previously known for its lithium interest, has ended up with an advanced exploration project in one of the hot areas for gold mining and gold exploration at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. My name's Rob and I'm a geologist. I guess I ought to declare that up front as a bit of a disclaimer almost. But I think what Arden were after to turn the company around a bit was a geologist that understood exploration at the front. So there I am. I'm talking from Perth where we've sort of been locked down, but nothing like what you've got at the moment. And this is where I'm sort of raised as out of Uni WA and spent most of my apprenticeship, which is about 10 or 15 years, I guess, in the goldfields, Archean territories and up in the Pilbara and Northern Territory. So pretty experienced in exploration and moving into mine sort of operations in gold and a bit of iron ore as well. So that's where I've done most of my background and then moved into African projects with in Mauritania and also in West Africa with Sundance, which is both famous and infamous, I guess. It rode the highs and lows of the sort of boom in 2006, 2007 in iron ore, where we went. You know, it was interesting you're talking about a nine bagger. I think Sundance went from 6 cents to 70 cents. So, you know, a $1 billion market cap very quickly, built on the drill rig and results in exploration, proving up a big resource, which is what, you know, investors want. So used to that, but happy to be in Canada where we don't have coup d'etats like are happening this morning in Bamako and bullets coming at you and mosquitoes with death diseases. We've all got other things, challenges in Canada. But, you know, to answer your question about what attracted me to Arden, it was three things, really. I guess it was the people, the project and the opportunity for profit for investors, the three Ps. And that's kind of the order. You know, Neil Hackett, who's our chairman, was also came into Sundance after the plane crash. And so I got to know Neil very well and know that his integrity levels are extremely high. And he was struggling with Arden coming out of the lithium sort of turndown, but had a few bits and pieces of gold over at Pickle Lake, it is. Pickle Creek, there might be a Pickle Creek somewhere, Barry, that you introed in, but it is somewhat of a lake district, but very famous for gold production, as you say, as Evolution, St Barbara. Everyone has sort of realised in Canada these days there's some good opportunities to aggregate big gold projects,
right,
both in terms of operations and also now exploration. So Arden had a handful of disparate sort of tenements that I've since I think we talked to last, we've sort of joined together and expanded to try and capture all of the prospective greenstone territory that has gold prospectivity. Not just, I don't like to say moose pasture because there's actually a lot of moose out there. So moose pasture is everywhere, but really prospective ground that has something in it that the others have overlooked or haven't managed to get the investment to really have a good crack at it. And with Orteco sort of spending money in the region and a couple other juniors around us, Pickle Lake has really come into the spotlight.
Apologies there about the Pickle Lake, not being Pickle Creek. Orteco's got Pickle Crow. What is it with pickles up there?
Yes, well, there's all sorts of, I mean, you also struggle with Casagiminus, so wait till we start talking about First Nations.
I thought I was pretty good at that.
Well, not bad. We just talk about Casagiminus as Cass. And the Mishkagogamang, who's our closest First Nation group, they call themselves the Mish, so they're good folk, and they don't mind if people mispronounce their names for a while until they get used to the area. I think Pickle Lake area, you can go back to the 1930s when they were mining there. The Pickle Crow mine itself that Orteco were working around sort of ran from the 30s to the 60s. And as they say, it ran out of a valuable gold price at the time, not because of the mineralization. But then people just, you know, Red Lake was discovered, and that's a town situation, a living situation, a seal road that comes into town, and a very amenable place to live and work. So the Canadians have been quite happy at Red Lake, tottering away at 30 million ounces of production there, and Pickle Lake sort of got forgotten in a way. Mm-hmm. There's quite a bit of ground holding up there with juniors, but they also haven't had the opportunity to raise enough capital to really put together a district or regional scale project. They've done little bits and pieces more along the sort of hope that they'll sell it on to someone, whereas none of us have really wanted to do that. We want to build our own projects and head them towards production and big multi-million ounce resources.
Mm. Okay, so the news on the ASX platform recently was the drilling program at Cass about to start.
Yeah, exactly. That's what everyone's been waiting for, I guess, and we appreciate the patience of a lot of people that were waiting for their rigs to get moving. We wanted to sort of cross off all the conditions, both with the Mines Department over there and also with First Nations about their concerns about COVID. I'm not sure what you've got in Victoria, but obviously in WA here, there's a lot of sensitivities in remote Aboriginal reserves about people coming in that don't really need to be there. And in Canada, it's very prevalent. We know Melbourne's in a difficult state, and Canada isn't completely out of the woods yet either. So COVID has a lot of extra conditions associated with it. So we've taken that time to demonstrate to the First Nations, the Mines Department, we're patient. We're not forcing our way in there ahead of when everything's been sorted out, but it has now. So we've basically just signed up a drill contractor that can probably do our summer and winter programs, potentially leave the rig there over the sort of Christmas period and pick it up again in the new year. So we're pretty excited about getting some drill bits in the ground.
Mm. Smart thing to do for with the First Nation people, because you plan to be here there a long time, obviously.
Yeah, exactly, and that's, you know, I learned a bit of it in WA as a young GO, more so in Africa with local communities and their concerns and traditional ways. If you want to be stronger for longer, you've got to sort those sort of things out early and demonstrate your integrity and your trustworthiness. So that's always a struggle, isn't it, between the market expectations, why haven't you got to drill there, other people have, as opposed to, well, you know, we want to be there next season, next year, in 2 years, and build that relationship with people and get their trust and bring benefit to them. That people project profit to the mentor is for everyone, not just the shareholders. It's there should be benefit to First Nation communities and people in the area, you know, while we operate there. It's their country and their land.
Yeah, great to hear. I think all Australians like to see the explorers and miners head out into the bigger world, but do it in a way that they would do here.
And I think a lot of people are doing that. I think times have changed. And you know, in Africa, people are doing things carefully and sensibly. But, we're pretty happy with the relationship. And by being forced to speak to, well, not forced, but asked to speak to a couple other First Nation groups in the area, it's sort of accelerated our relationships with those groups, which are more up towards our Western hub, heading towards Red Lake. So it's initiated dialogue ahead of what we had scheduled. So there's been a benefit to it that will come to fruition longer term.
Right, okay. Now, at CAS, you've got the initial resource, 110,000 ounces at 4.3 grams a tonne to a depth of 250 metres. And in May, you set a exploration target. Can you just talk about the thinking that went into that?
Yeah, if you want to get inside the head of a geologist and how he works out exploration targets, it's there's all sorts of theories on it. But basically, you've got to look at analogies in the area, what information you have on that deposit, what's the likelihood of it extending, what structures have you got, what's happened in the neighbourhood. So you've got to draw on analogies in the immediate district. So at CAS, there's actually a historical estimate there of 400,000 ounces. Yeah. So to start at 500 on the assumption that we can do more drilling, is a conservative end of it. And we've taken that down to 500 metres, even though most of the mines in the Pickle Lake area go down up to a kilometre. So I haven't wanted to push it out too far because you never quite know what happens at depth. Maybe something cuts it off. Maybe there's a intrusion. Who knows? So the sort of 500,000 ounces is the lower end of what we expect, and we hope to get to 500,000 ounces there pretty quickly, given that there's a historical estimate already there of 400,000. Mm. That'll probably come during the winter campaign once we get out onto the eastern extension. The upper limit is more in an analogy with the Donner Lake mine, which ran at about 6 or 7 grams per tonne. So the grade is thereabouts. If anyone watched Evolution's re-release of the resources at Red Lake recently, they run it at about 7 grams, which is sort of what an underground mine is really profitable at if you've got the widths and the continuity. So that was sort of the grade range. And when you extend out across a 2 kilometre dilation zone that we've identified through geophysics, there's good basis to assume that along there will be, there could be significant mineralisation. So an exploration target is supposed to give you that feel that's what, if everything came together, you would have semi-conservatively. You know, we run quite a conservative approach to our numbers.
That comes through in the company's literature that I don't think I've ever, well, maybe once early on, the reference to the historic resource of 400,000 ounces. So you'd rather reset it in the modern parlance, as it were.
Well, I think the listing rules, ASX prefer you, once you've drilled a historical resource, they prefer you to put the historical estimates to one side and talk more about your exploration target based on the work that you're doing. So Arden did drilling in 2018 just to verify the mineralisation was there. The historical estimate still exists at another one of our prospects called Dorothy and Dobie. When we start drilling there, we'll be doing an exploration target along that shear once we understand more the mineralisation, the structures, and we're doing a lot of work on that in geophysics at the moment as well. So it's as long as it's, you know, really stated clearly to the shareholders so they can understand this is what we hope to get, because they're the questions you get. You know, what do you hope to get there? How big is it? Mm. So you're giving them what you think is, as a geologist, as a profession, and I'm the CP, you know, so I put my name behind it. That's what I think is a reasonable expectation to find there.
Yep.
If it's bigger than that, great. We'll all be pleasantly surprised, but that's what we're going after just at CAS, which is just one of sort of 18 prospects and deposits. So that's the exciting part of the project.
Mm-hmm. So the rig is booked and about to arrive at CAS?
Yeah, so we talked about a 2-week time frame to get it out on the ground and drilling. Speaking to Dan, our geo at Thunder Bay, he thinks he can do it quicker than that. But again, let's keep ourselves, you know, anything can happen up there. There could be a fire or who knows. But we've signed up a drilling contractor and they're ready to roll just from next door. So it's not a big mobilisation and they're keen to stay with us. So there's more rigs than jobs for them at the moment in many parts of Canada. So they're all very keen to work. Dan's worked with the group before, so he knows their ability and their professionalism. Mm-hmm. So he'll be running that with a couple of other geos that we've got in Thunder Bay. He's basically starting that process as of last week.
Right. And anyone who looks at the company's presentations will see that you are, in fact, sport for choice where to drill. But at CAS, initially at least, it's what, two of approximately 20 structural targets that you'll test first?
Yeah, I think we keep coming up with more that we'd like to verify further before we sort of really classify them as mineralisation targets. You can get a lot of structures that that aren't on the right sort of zone, but all the ones that we've named, I think, in a release a little while ago, are close to or along strike of mineralisation sort of that we know about. So we're pretty keen to do a systematic approach. So while we're doing drilling for resource definition, we're also doing geochemistry sampling and some new geophysics, both ground and airborne over those areas to refine our drilling target so that we're not just taking rigs back to where there were the good hits before and repeating them. We want to look for dimensions. And if you've got one flagship like Cass proving up the resource, then you've got news flow and the ability to do some less sexy stuff or less interesting stuff, I guess, for a while elsewhere, and make sure when you do take a rig in there, you're putting it in the best possible spot.
Mm. So now I put the pressure on. Everyone will be asking, when will there be a maiden resource or a new resource estimate for Cass?
Well, we're hoping to do a small update in the December quarter, mm-hmm. Based on the summer drilling campaign. So if we're successful to the west of Cass, we'll get with Optura, who did our last one, and look at the numbers again, based on another 3,500 metres of drilling. But probably the biggest one's going to be after our larger winter campaign. If we can drill during January, February, March on the lake at Cass, we expect significant increase in the resource then. So that's going to be basically into the March and then June quarter of next year for a larger one there. Of course, other resource updates can come through acquisitions and arrangements. So we're looking in all directions to grow the resource, both through the drill bit and through opportunities.
Mm. So there's actual opportunities there for that sort of thing, is there?
Well, in the gold space, it's reminiscent, isn't it, of when iron ore went crazy in 2006, 2007, everyone brushed off their so-called iron ore deposits and were selling them. So the same's happening with a lot of gold properties, both here and everywhere, really. Some don't stand up to the first sort of due diligence. Mm. A lot of things have something, I won't say cancerous, but something onerous about them if they haven't already moved. So we're only looking at quality projects that have the ability to be compatible with Pickle Lake project and have good opportunity to bring shareholder value.
Mm. Has the Canadian market got behind the gold story now, gold exploration story? Because there was a while there where, if cannabis or cryptocurrency seemed to be attracting the speculative investors' dollar away from gold.
Yeah, there's a lot of anecdotal talk about that, and I'm certainly no specialist, Barry, I'll admit that, but it's on different levels, I guess. I guess the explosive or the multitudes of profits that were available in cryptocurrency and medical marijuana stuff has subsided. So that sort of boom is over, but there's a big base there, so you've got a large market in that area. But I think a fair bit of interest has certainly come back into the gold space in Canada, both with TSXV listed and ASX listed companies. So it's more competitive, but there's a lot of ground that just hasn't been looked at for a long time. So Canada's a big country and it's mm-hmm. got some really large greenstone belts, not just in Ontario, but British Columbia and Quebec as well has some really prospective areas that just need someone with the ability and the support of the market and investors to go in and start discovering what is in the ground there.
Mm, okay. Now, the two other more advanced of the prospects, Dorothy and Dobie, what's happening there?
Yeah, it's a good question. We're trying to evaluate the whole strike length along there. Dorothy and Dobie and Tonsil, which are three the advanced projects through that area, they were held by different people at different times. So we've now got the whole continuous structure through there, and we're looking carefully at what's happening nearby at Red Lake with Great Bear Resources. They're unravelling an unbelievable story at their Dixie project. And as they've been drilling 8 or 9 of their main prospects over the last couple of years, they've discovered that they all basically coalesce at depth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just one structure alongside a very significant unconformity. So with our geophysicists and technical people, we're looking at the geological picture there sort of from on top rather than just focusing in on one area that has some of the assays in there are bonanza grades, but which is interesting for a week, but then, okay, what have you got there?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really trying to, now that we've got a bit more dialogue going with the First Nation group in there, we'd like to advance that to an MOU with the First Nation group in that area and get a rig on the ground there first half of next year. So we'll do that in pace with our budget and our ability, but we'd be pretty excited to get some drill rigs out onto the Dorothy Dobie strike and start unravelling the bigger story there, which we think is in the ground.
What is that strike, about 10K or so?
Well, you can trace mineralization along a strike for about 30 k's on our ground, and it goes to the northwest into some other hoardings. You start to get pretty remote up there. There's not a lot of infrastructure in there. So you're talking about heli support or, you know, setting up a camp out there, and, you know, the logistics start to get tricky, you know, the more remote you get from Pickle Lake. But in the smack bang in the middle of that, you've got the Golden Patricia Mine, which originally was run by Lac Minerals and Bond Corporation.
There's a bit of history.
And there's a mine in the middle of all of that. So that's pretty exciting to be picking that up to the northwest and to the southeast and tracing it along strike.
Mm. Is that Barrick nowadays?
Barrick hold it. Mm. It was part of a deal that they did mainly to get the Hemlo mine in Ontario. That was their bigger prize in taking up those assets. So the Golden Patricia mine has basically sat there on care and maintenance. Or there's really not much left there. Some environmental checks. And it's sat there untouched for a long time. But yeah, Barrick, yeah, they've got bigger things on their plate at the moment. But who knows?
Yeah, answering to Warren Buffett nowadays, no less.
Yes, no. Yes, they've got a few headlines. Yeah.
Just to pull it all together, if we can summarise the news flow over the next couple of quarters for investors, what to look out for?
Well, I think what you're basically looking at is drill on the ground. Some sort of core shots of what we're starting to hit there, some results, you know, once we've put together some high-grade results and put those in context and have them checked, get those out before the end of the year, potentially a small drill resource upgrade in the December quarter, and then rig back starting again early January once everyone's had Christmas and hopefully the COVID situation has improved all over the place. So then, you know, a large drill campaign January, February, March, with a larger JORC resource increase at the end of that quarter, and then getting a drill rig out to Dorothy Doby and Southland, which is another prospect we haven't talked about, up closer to the Donald Lake mine. So starting to spread our sort of tentacles into other prospects to keep that news flow and that opportunity to find the big monster in three or four places rather than just at one. But Cass itself is pretty exciting just as it's by itself.
Mm. And I should have asked earlier, are these all 100%?
Yes, all the ones I've just spoken to are 100%. About 85% of our holding is completely out of them. We've done one earn-in with a company called Exxaro, what we call our new Patricia prospect, which was a critical block of tenure just southeast of the Dorothy Doby stretch, which joins across to Cass. So it was a bridging sort of land holding that's highly prospective, and we're running some very low flight level, high detail aeromatics over that in August as well. So our partners in there are very excited that after 45 years of no attention, that the structures and the lithologies through there are finally getting some decent detail and analysis. And if we can get in there drilling as well, that would be great. You know, I'd love more drill rigs on the ground. That's what we did at Sundance. You sort of start with one rig and then suddenly you get the interest, the investment, and you get six rigs coming down the road at you. I would love that for that to happen.
Says Rob, the geologist. There we
I think the CFO's got something to say about that. I mean, it's in context, isn't it? I mean, if you in the window of gold, if you've got the opportunity to go exploring and you've got the appetite for investment, then you've got to take that opportunity and go for it.
Mm. Oh, well, if you hit something significant in this coming drill program, it will be, you know, off to the races in terms of the ability to fund a bigger and more extensive drill program, which is what it's all about. So, yep. Okay, Rob. Well, thanks for that. A great background on it all, and what to look out for. So, we will watch with interest, and wish you all the best with it.
Thank you.